Sophia, and I am a drug addict and an alcoholic. Someone who I admire said, and I think this is really important if you're new, that the person sitting up here is just another drunk. So I'm just another person who fucked up and ended up here and somehow managed to conjure up a couple days. This is a chairperson. They're not the president of AA either. So that's just really important. It was important for me because I was delusional when it first came in. So I was nervous when I first came up here, and then I thought about how I've been up here before celebrating because this is my home group, which is also something really important if you're new. A home group is a place, is a meeting that you go to every week, or at least, you know, it's kind of, it becomes, your home where you go to every week where other alcoholics get to know you. And that was really important for me. I didn't have a home group for a while in the beginning. And when I came to legal for the first time, I saw other people my age, and that really intimidated me. But I just kept coming. So, keep coming back. So, all right. What it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So, I'm a Puerto Rican from the Bronx. Both of my parents are educators. So, in my house, it was vital to do well in school. My mom was my guidance counselor. She counseled me, I guess, in middle school. So that was my one justification throughout all of my using, throughout all of my drinking was, you know, you can't tell me shit because I am doing well in school. That was my cover. I hated people. You know, I always thought there was something wrong with me psychologically. And I wished that there was, even towards the bitter end, I wanted to fight for schizophrenia rather, I guess, or anything, just like label me something that like can be fixed with medicine maybe, but like alcoholism, like that's so intangible. In fact, it sounded too simple. It was like, wait, no, my problems are way more complicated than that. You guys served me some humble pie, and I learned to just shut up and listen. So basically, I got in a lot of trouble. I was that kind of drinker that just couldn't get away with it. I got caught pretty much every time. I snuck out a lot when I was younger. I would literally just take my mom's credit card. I looked over her shoulder one time and I knew her PIN, and I would take money out, and I had no concept of, like, you know, that she worked for that and that, you know, I was dealing it. You know, I felt almost entitled. Entitlement, yes, that is a problem of mine. So I would do that, and it was almost as if, like, I would become possessed. You know, I never thought I was a bad person, and I'm not a bad person. I had this obsessive compulsive sort of drive to just fuck shit up all the time. And then came the drugs and the alcohol. And the best way I can describe my drinking and using is kind of like I wanted to be the physical embodiment of being drunk. So like I wanted you to hang out with me and like feel drunk. And like, because I thought that was the best feeling ever, and I didn't understand people who didn't want to be that way all the time, inebriated just 24/7. And now it's kind of weird, like, if I'm ever out of myself, like if I have a cold and I have to take like a Tylenol or something, like that's a little weird. I've come to like being myself, which is a gift of sobriety. So yeah, so I like ran around in public naked. I cursed at people. I got into fights with security guards. I got hospitalized. Eventually, the school cover blew. I couldn't keep that up anymore. I was actually talking to someone on my way here about how there's people. I'm in school now, and that's also a gift. And there's people who can go and get fucked up on the weekends and continue to show up. That's not me. I don't know. Like, eventually, one has to stop. And for me, it was, I totally, like, food, drugs and alcohol over food at all costs, you know, and it just got ugly. So that's just to qualify, you know, I was obsessed with drugs and alcohol. I wanted to do it all the time, and I even found a way to use while I went to rehab. I eventually was given an ultimatum by my dad, who's also in recovery. And I hated where I was. I was at a private school in Washington, D.C., and I made it in there. I don't know how. And I was just throwing it all away. You know, it just didn't mean anything to me. It was all I had, you know, to justify my drinking and using. And then after a certain point, I just wanted to die. I thought that was a better exchange for how I was living. And in fact, I thought I would be doing other people a favor if I just left. I really believed that. And I don't believe that today anymore, thank God. So when he told me, you know, I'll get you out of there if you go to rehab, I thought that was a vacation. I was like, yes, please, let's do that. And I went, and then I started to hear the message. They brought AA meetings to the rehab I was at, and that's where I heard people talking about wanting to run away all the time. I thought everyone felt that way. I thought everyone felt just like an alien on this planet. I thought everyone actually hated each other and just pretended to like each other. I didn't think like real friendships existed. It was just all a facade. So when I finally started to, like, the fog started to go away a little bit, something like completely revolutionary was introduced to me, and the thought and the idea was that it was all me, and that I'm actually very selfish and self-centered, and that was offensive. I mean, I love to share my weed. Like, what are you talking about? So after that, I started to maybe consider that my life meant something to other people, and it was selfish of me to want to destroy myself, which still kind of confuses me, you know, when I think about it. But the reality is that that facade and like relationships not being real is my alcoholism. Me believing that is my alcoholism, because other people have feelings too, and all those feelings that I fought so hard to numb are a part of just being human. And while I'm busy trying to dehumanize myself, the people who care about me are having those feelings. So when I did start to come to meetings, I got a sponsor, and she taught me to call her every day, call other people and talk about my feelings. And in the beginning, it was just a lot of crying, a lot of, you know, what is this? I hate this person. Like, now I realize, like, what I really did in that situation back then. I'm so disgusted with myself. Like, all the shame and guilt started to pile on, and that's how the steps helped me. The steps helped me accept my past and learn from it. And actually use it as almost, it became gold. Your shame and guilt doesn't have to be the dark cloud that hangs over you here. It actually is what you exchange for someone else's sobriety. And that's just amazing. When someone told me that for the first time, I never thought that, you know, all those things that I thought made me a bad person can actually save a life. So that encouraged me to keep coming. And I made friends that people want to be friends with me. What? and like I can show up to things, which like was also not like I still, you know, kind of like when people cancel, I'm like, I get kind of happy. I'm like, yes, yeah, no plans. And I can just like not care and like not have to follow a schedule. But I'm capable of it today, which in itself is like, what? I still kind of, when I think about myself, like when I first came in, it was painful because I didn't know who I was, and like drugs and alcohol were my identity for so long. Like I thought, you know, how am I going to present myself in like outside situations? And that didn't matter because I just kept coming and I made friends here. And like when I did eventually encounter those situations with like, you know, when like I had to decline or anything like that, I felt like I had to give this whole spiel, like, no, like, you don't want me to, like, touch that stuff, like, I'm gonna fucking burn everything down if I, like, I don't have to say that today, I just, like, don't do that shit, and it makes me a better person for myself and for all of you, everyone around me. I am doing a service to society, I believe that, and to my family. And so I feel like having someone to be accountable, my sponsor, that is so vital, because I'm not the boss of myself anymore. I'm not God. So I guess, you know, for this whole, this is a spiritual program, or it's like a life program. It's kind of a lifestyle. And it, for me, like what AA has done, it's just like taken me out of my own way, so that like awesome shit could happen. And it takes time, you know, like this isn't a drug. AA, I mean, you could treat it like a drug, please do. Come as often as you can, but it's not gonna work instantaneously. And that was really, I mean, it's something I heard that helps me is like to think about pain as growth. And like for so long I was numbing that pain. Hence I was a 12-year-old for like 6 or 7 years. And I need to accept that I have a phenomenon of craving. Like when I put a substance that's mood or mind altering, I may make it home at the end of the night safe. I may not. I may or may not show up to whatever commitment I had the next day. But it's just a gamble. And, like, I was willing to gamble my life before when I didn't think it was worth anything. And that's because I was not giving myself a chance. And when I stay sober, you know, the reality is that AA is a program to help you stay sober. And, like, if anything, you know, if your life is not working out right now and you're here, that's the number one thing AA can guarantee you, is that a day at a time, you don't have to pick up and things will start to get better. And then hopefully you get a sponsor and do the steps. And things can become amazing. That's been the most important thing for me, you know, is to accept. Acceptance is not easy, but, you know, it's gotten me through a lot of difficult situations. Praying for other people, sometimes in a self-righteous way, kind of like, I'm going to pray for you, it's fine, you know, like, and I just go about my day. but it helps, and I learned that from you guys. And like, a higher power doesn't have to be anything with a face, or it doesn't really have to be a concrete conception. I went to a third step meeting recently, so this is fresh in my mind, but as long as you learn to surrender, and for me that's a loaded word, but surrendering essentially is just letting it go. And like, who the fuck would have thought that I didn't have to be in control of everything? Like, I I really thought I had control over your thoughts. Like, it was that serious. Like, where, like, I thought I could predict what you were going to say before you said it. And then, like, if you didn't say what I thought you were going to say, I could manipulate you to, like, oh, so much, like, mind work. And, like, with situations and with things I wanted. At this point, like, I've been able to let go of my expectations. And or at least, like, acknowledge that I'm having them and then, like, see that that might fuck me up in the future. Like, oh, I want this really, really badly. My claw marks are probably going to cut me. And I don't know if that makes sense, but essentially, I just come here and I get hugs and I am told that I'm worth something. And I hear what you guys are going through, and like, it actually tends to be so similar to what I'm going through most of the time, because like, we're all crazy and that's awesome. And there's so many of us here, like, fucking this meeting, man, like, look at this. I just, when I see, like, this room, it's just, like, I can't believe, like, we're so lucky to be in New York getting sober. So I encourage you all to take advantage of it, like, Nicipa Halloween party, come through, like, this is gonna be, we have so much fun. I can't even. I have to contain myself. People ask me, like, what do sober kids do at night? I don't know. We fuck shit up. We congregate and mostly take a long time to travel to places. We eat. Like, there's so much to enjoy. And, like, the city has transformed before my eyes since I've gotten sober. Like, this place was a scary fucking place before. Everything was just a threat. And I don't have to look at the world that way today. I have a safe place to come, and I have people to protect me. And I have a higher power, and the steps, to prove that. I don't think I really have anything else to say. So thanks for letting me share.